Podcasting 2.0 for December 10th, 2021, episode 65, Billion Served. My favorite day of the week. Gotta say, top of the list for favorite podcasts to do. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the official board meeting for Podcasting 2.0. Everything happening at podcastindex.org, the podcast namespace, and, of course, all the genius that is flowing through podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of Hill Country, Texas, and in Alabama, he dilutes rust faster than Coca-Cola. My friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
YouTube! Oh my God, YouTube's going to do podcasting. You got to freak out. Everybody freak.
They're podcasting!
I mean, that was the topic du jour of the week, is YouTube coming in and eating everybody's lunch.
Oh, really? That's interesting. I thought a different topic was the topic du jour, so I am very interested to hear exactly what the YouTube news is. Are they taking over podcasting? Are they going to do it better? Are they going to bring all the new features?
Well, evidently that's what Todd and Rob said on the new media show.
I started listening, but what exactly did they imply?
No, he said that he thinks they're going to come in and start hosting podcasts.
Like hosting podcast host.
Yeah.
Oh,
with
my.
Monetization and all that.
Oh, my. And
so that seems to be his understanding of some kind of rumor or whatever. But that, you know, because that goes further than what was actually in the news. What was in the news was like podcasting. YouTube says it may have a podcasting monetization strategy.
And so then, hold on, can you come closer to the mic? You sound a little bit distant.
Am I? Is this better?
That's much better. Thank you. You got to inhale through your teeth now. Yes. Welcome to NPR's podcast chat. How you doing, chat. Dave?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm thinking about YouTube and their monetization strategy.
What is the strategy?
I brought clips.
Oh. I am jitty.
So look for a
clips,
clip from
clips.
Susan. There was like these two different things. Yeah, mm-hmm. Jabberwocky. Susan Jabberwocky.
Oh, we don't laugh about names in podcasting 2.0.
But not even if it's the CEO of YouTube?
Yeah, then I guess that's okay.
Okay. Can I get a waiver?
Yes. Hold on a second. Seconded and waiver is approved.
Excellent. Susan, Wojcicki, play the clip, go.
Content moderation, obviously a challenge. You're working on it. You have a strategy. What is the next big kind of scary thing that you're worried about?
Hold on. Who's doing this interview?
I don't know. I forgot.
I think
it's nobody I've ever heard of.
I think, where was this from then?
Oh, you're going to make me find this.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was just curious. The reason why is just, I think all CEOs should be asked this question. You are the CEO of GE. What do you find most scary out there? This is a good question for CEOs.
Well, so here's the interesting. This is a very interesting clip. There's kind of two sections to it. And this first thing, she says, you know, like, what keeps you up? What's most scary to you?
Right.
What keeps you up? And then the most interesting part about her response to me is that she genuinely seems taken aback by the question. Like, I don't think that this part of the interview, at least, was scripted.
Huh.
Because, and it, just the way she responds tells me that she was not expecting this question. And which is awesome because then you think, okay, well, I'm actually going to get a decent answer probably because you may mess up and flub it.
Right. Okay.
All right, go.
I'll start from the beginning.
Right. Content moderation, obviously a challenge. You're working on it. You have a strategy. What is the next big kind of scary thing that you're worried about on YouTube?
I mean, right now, I mean, the content moderation has been a huge area for us. And I think it's something we're always going to have to continue to be on top of. I think we're in a good place in the last couple.
No, the way it works, you just say, stop.
Stop.
Okay, yes.
Let's see. So the reason I say that she did not, that this is not scripted and this caught her by surprise was because the whole conversation up to this point, I cut all this out because it's not interesting. Was this big discussion about content moderation.
Mm.
That was what the whole interview was about up until this point.
Ah,
and
okay.
So she's like,
she's still in content moderation mode, and she's using that to think of her answer.
To think of her answer. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. All right. Go.
I mean, the content moderation has been a huge area for us. And I think it's something we're always going to have to continue to be on top of. I think we're in a good place. In the last couple of years, we've put so much work from people, technology, process, experts in place to really make sure that we're on top of it. But I'm always going to tell you that's going to be my top responsibility, and we can never take our eye off the ball. We're always going to be focused on that.
Got it.
But in terms of other things to worry about, we're certainly regulation. We're certainly very focused on working. I look across.
That's my favorite tell. Regulation, yeah. And she goes off the deep end. We're analyzing. So this is better than laughing about her name, by the way. Analyzing this is much more fun.
Yeah. So the uncomfortable laugh there, that is going to be, she's going to one up that with a uncomfortable mega laugh here in a minute. Like it's not the obnoxious kind, but it's very drawn out and much more obvious. But she's her first kind of thing that she can come up with. She replayed the content moderation thing. So she could buy herself time to think of something. The first thing she thinks of is regulations.
Right. And then she's laughing as she's laughing about it. So is that because she knows that it's really going to be in her favor and to her benefit? Because that's what it is. I think that's why she's laughing. Like, regulating.
That's exactly what
we're getting so regulated. So that no one else can come in. This is great.
Regulation. Wink, wink.
This is a good clip. Congratulations. Okay. Clip of the day, maybe.
But in terms of other things to worry about, we're certainly regulation. We're certainly very focused on working because, I look across the globe and there are literally hundreds of bills that are in discussion right now that all have a variety of different ways of impacting YouTube. And we want to make sure that we're able to, that our creators are able to continue to publish and do the great work that they do. I'd also say, there's a lot of competition, right now. Mm. Everyone is talking about video. We see a lot of growth. It's not just US companies. There are global companies that we're competing with.
Mm-hmm.
So she says competition.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that perked my ears up. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, this feels like the first true thing that this feels like the first legit answer. I think she is worried about competition.
Rightly so.
I think they are seeing this, like, you can laugh all you want to about Rumble and, Brighteon and all this crazy, all these.
Oh, it's dilutive.
Yeah. It's like death by a thousand cuts. I think that this is a legitimate answer, but here's where it veers into podcast stuff.
Impacting YouTube, and we want to make sure that we're able to, that our creators are able to continue to publish and do the great work that they do. I'd also say, there's a lot of competition, right now. Mm. Everyone is talking about video. We see a lot of growth. It's not just US companies. There are global companies that we're competing with. And
y'all are getting into podcasting.
Well, we're excited about podcasting.
Okay. Hold on a second. First, leading the witness. Leading the witness. Do you think this was scripted, this question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. But she's like,
but she wasn't ready for it. what was up with that?
That's the fake, the sort of fake uncomfortable laugh where it's like, I don't really know what I want to say.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Let's listen. This is good.
And y'all are getting into podcasting.
Well, we're excited about podcasting, for sure.
She is. I think she's just really excited. Doesn't
that feel like that to me sounds like the female version of the Bill Gates uncomfortable laugh?
No, to me, it sounds like there's something really big there. She's doing really excited. I think it's so Bill Gates's excited laugh was because, you know, he's nervous about people and Epstein and all that crap. That's when he does that. Although, no, that's not true. No, I'm sorry. You're right. When he's talking about vaccines, that's when he does that.
Yeah.
But it's
I know something you don't laugh.
Yeah, but this is bigger than that. I can just see her like corkscrewing up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Wow. Okay. This is good stuff. I loved your journalistic take, Dave Jones. You never cease to amaze. I mean, Rust developer, IT admin, journalist, journo.
Global.
You need a blue check on Twitter. That's what you need now.
I got one on Mastodon.
A lot of growth. It's not just US beating with. And
y'all are getting into podcasting.
Well, we're excited about podcasting, for sure. But you know, that's a place where there's also many different companies. But we do think it's a good opportunity for people who are producing podcasting to generate revenue, have more distribution. We crossed 50 million subscribers for our YouTube Music and premium service.
Yeah, when there's something that's been bothering me, and it was also the Lisa Laporte interview on Podland a week or two ago, And it doesn't really matter male or female, that's just by coincidence. When people are talking about things that they're absolutely not planning on doing, they always draw them out with an up talk. Your monetization, hold your hand, do this. So this I do not believe is true. I don't think the monetization thing is true. The something big in podcasting, yeah, but I don't know about all this. Let's listen again.
Well, we're excited about podcasting, for sure. But you know, that's a place where there's also many different companies. But we do think it's a good opportunity for people who are producing podcasting to generate revenue, have more distribution. We crossed 50 million subscribers for our YouTube Music and premium service. And so we know that users are paying for this service. And the more we can offer more podcasts there, we think that will be a really valuable service for our users. So, I have many things that could keep me up at night. And but I'm also excited about innovation. And that's really why I ultimately came to Google and to YouTube, was just the ability to continue to create and use technology to improve our lives. Sure. And that's what I'm
hoping. Blah, blah, blah. You can stop it. There's nothing else.
So she's doing it. They're going to do a reverse Spotify reach around, the sweetest reach around.
Yes, that's exactly, you're exactly right. That's exactly what I thought. They're not going to become a podcast hosting company.
No, they're going to have some exclusives. They're going to have a whole directory. And instead of video being a byproduct of Spotify, audio will be a byproduct of YouTube, which it already is, arguably. People who use the YouTube app very often are listening to video shows just with the app, you know, with the phone closed.
100% agree. That was exactly my thought. They're gonna leverage the Google Podcast directory.
Yep.
Just suck it in. And then throw their standard YouTube monetization stuff is going to be on top of it. You'll get a YouTube channel or something that you can go claim it and do all this kind of stuff. It'll just be that. I mean, they're not going to get into the hosting business. Because she, otherwise, like when she says, we're really excited about podcasts. Like she's not excited about podcasts. That was bull.
Now, they do have, the URL shortener outfit that they kind of revamped, the RSS outfit there?
Oh, you're talking about FeedBurner?
Yeah, FeedBurner. They have been doing some work over there, so maybe they got some sense. It's good. All I hope is that we get some of these YouTube, Google people to look at podcasting 2.0. Mm-hmm. You know, take your exclusive shows, and why don't you be a good citizen? How about that? How about a revolutionary idea? We will help promote people use your app if you support tags and if you support value for value.
And we're making a great first push towards doing that by making fun of the CEO's name. That's a great way
now,
to get in.
Now, do you know who actually does understand value for value in podcasting? Specifically, lightning value for value in podcasting?
Hit me.
Jack Dorsey.
Yes.
Twitter was Odeo. It was a podcast company, which, according to James Cridlin, launched and was real. By the way, James Cridlin, did he reply to my post?
Oh, I don't know. He's MIA. He may be dead.
No, don't say this. No, I heard his voice. I heard his voice going. I heard it going. I'm like, on a couple of shows, I'm like, oh, this guy's losing his voice. And then I listened to Pod News today, and it's some, I don't know if it was a, sounded a bit like a generated voice. No, computer generated.
Definitely Australian.
So I said, hey, can I, you want me to track a couple of days for you? I'd be happy to do that.
That's, he may be afraid to.
Oh, please.
To give you the reins.
No, I mean, look, I'll just send him my voice fit file. He can do whatever he wants. No, I'm serious about that. There's nothing worse. It's like, you know, it's like if you're a guitar player and you break your finger.
No, oh, yeah, that sucks.
You know, okay, so now you got it. So his, you know, I mean, look at the man. His voice is all he's got. Come on, come on, come on. That was an easy one. That was an easy one. That was easy. I'm here all week. Now, so what I thought the news of the week was, and that was actually, I think, at the beginning of the new media show, and I got an email from Rob Greenlee. I don't get emails from Rob Greenlee very often. Did you get an email from Rob Greenlee?
No, I've never gotten an email from Rob Greenlee.
Do you feel less special?
Yes.
Okay. But it was interesting because this is a question you can answer. And so you have not seen this. We have had no previous conversation. Can you affirm that?
This email's been in a hermetically sealed mayonnaise jar for a week. Nobody has seen it.
It literally came in today. You're the only man who can really answer this. And so it's good because there was a lot of talk about it. Podcasting 2.0. Here we go. Subject: podcast index directory size ? Duplications ? Hey, Adam, I'm hearing that your directory of podcasts at the podcast index. Okay. I wonder if he must have sent this to, it almost feels like a form letter now. Your directory, it's not my directory of podcast. Okay. It doesn't matter. It just, do you know what I mean? Doesn't sound like a personal note. So he may be sending it to more people.
Some people just write that way.
That's possible. I am hearing that your directory of podcasts at the podcast index has a lot of duplications, as many are comparing it to the 2 million shows Apple lists and your 4.4 million shows. Can you share what might be going on here? I'm trying to represent accurate total numbers to the industry and trying to understand this massive difference. Thanks, Rob Greenlee. So let me take a stab at a few things, and then I want the pod sage to blow the sacred smoke and explain it to us.
All right.
So first of all, not all, you'd be very surprised to learn, not all podcasts are submitted to Apple. In fact, we have the Swedish Trickler, and we have our, Dave will tell us in a moment how many feeds he's found that have never been submitted to Apple. The supposition that there are 2 million dead anchor feeds, and this is, of course, the main problem, I don't think it's 2 million, and I would like to come to an understanding on the terminology of dead. Just because a feed has not updated doesn't mean that it's not a useful podcast, that it's that it doesn't have function, or that it doesn't have value. Not every feed has to be a show. So if it's a musician who has a, you know, does a value for value 10-part series of how to finger pick the guitar, that doesn't mean that that's a dead show. So that bothers me enormously that RSS has looked at that way. So now, after me spouting, we can listen to the Pod Sage tell us exactly what's going on.
So the question is,
can I accompany you? Do you need someone accompaniment?
You can come alongside me and give me emotional support. there's no, okay.
The Pod Sage has his own sound, you see, when he speaks.
Yeah. It's I completely cannot concentrate what you're doing.
I stopped. I stopped. I understand. Okay. I stopped.
Throw you need to throw the before we started the show, you had Distortion on there, and you're reprising Jimi Hendrix's
Star Spangled Banner
performance of Star Spangled Banner. Okay, I'm looking at the most current stats, and if I understand the question correctly, what's being asked is the number, the 4.6 million number, crazy inflated because of duplicate podcasts?
Duplicate podcasts and dead podcasts. Specifically, Anchor is a junkyard, a graveyard, etc. And none of those podcasts that have not been updated have value. I take exception to that because I think there's a lot of people who want to have a feed for something and might as well just have it over there for free in perpetuity and not have to pay $10, $15, $20, $40 a month to keep that going.
Because I did not know this question was coming, I can't give you really accurate breakdowns of this like I could if I had done some research, but I can give you some top level stuff. So Anchor currently has 1,967,275 podcasts in the directory.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's not every one of them, but I feel like we are really close. Like, I don't think that number that we have in podcast index, I don't feel that number is significantly off from what Anchor actually has. And the reason I say that is because we know what the algorithm is for Anchor podcast feed creation. The algorithm is the URL follows a hexadecimal ID that increments by 100 each time. So once you know the algorithm, you can just run through there and just find them all. And you can track them and pick up new ones as they're added.
That is so sexy, Dave Jones, what you just said there. Say that again, slower.
That is correct, slower. That's courtesy of Christopher Ising.
That guy.
Yeah, the Swedish Trickler.
Yeah. Whisper that quietly in my ear, Swedish Trickler.
So we show 1,967,275 Anchor podcasts. So if you were to break that number down and say, how much of the podcast index does that represent? It's, what is that, 40-something percent?
40%? Yeah, 47, yeah, something like that. Yeah, oh yeah, 4.4, yeah, in the 40s, mid-40s.
Okay, so if that's the case, then you say, how many of those are active or dead or whatever you want to say? Now, are there dead podcasts? And by dead, I mean truly dead, like some guy just went on there and hit and typed in the podcast and recorded 3 seconds of audio and has never touched it again in 7 years. Yes, there's lots of that on there. I go through and clean up a lot of that stuff. I don't get it all, but I do clean up a lot of that stuff. So this number,
like the false starts and the empty stuff. I mean, do you listen to the content when you're quote cleaning it up? You barbarian.
What I usually do is I have a few scripts that I can run that dump a lot of output that show this feed has not been updated in, let's say, 18 months, and it only has one episode.
Okay, stop. I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
This is the last time we're going to do this. After this, we're going to publish this as a newsletter.
A newsletter on Substack, yes. On our new Substack.
It can be a Substack. Yeah, Substack. There you go. This analysis is very valuable, and I think it should be helping to fund Podcast Index. And I think we should just go old school. This is for old school people because they need this for advertising purposes. So let's charge them in fiat fund coupons over on Substack. This is good, Dave. That algorithm incremental stuff, I can sell that 100 times over to Fortune 500 companies.
So we do a lot of deduplication. The scripts are running 24/7. They're just running all the time. As things are added, they are going through and seeing if, trying as best they can to figure out if there are duplicates and marking the ones that are duplicate as dead. And so if they get marked as dead, they no longer show up.
When they're dead to the pod sage, that thing's dead. That thing is buried. That thing is incinerated. It's dust.
Oh, it's a headstone. Yeah,
it's a headstone. Right on.
So that number of that 1,967,275 is a liberal number that represents a fairly accurate representation, and I would say a fair representation of anchor podcasts that we have determined have some sort of value. Now, and I mean very liberal with that. So here's my theory. Okay. If you just threw up a test thing, just shitting around, that's not valuable. And I'll get rid of that, you know. But if you put up 3 episodes 9 years ago and you actually put some effort into it, and these are 3 episodes of this podcast that you were trying to, I mean, you were actually working to get to try to figure out if you wanted to do podcasting and stuff like that. To me, that's, who am I to say that that's not valuable?
Thank you.
So there may be, let's just say 20% of anchor feeds that are that way. I don't know what the number is.
Let's just be clear. The reason why it is quote unquote not valuable is because it is viewed through the lens of an advertising perspective. It's not valuable if it's not updated, if it's not frequent, you know, if it's unpredictable, unless it's quote unquote evergreen. Yes. Evergreen. I sound like George Carlin. Evergreen. I just don't have a punchline.
It just goes nowhere.
Exactly.
So the anchor stuff is clearly the biggest mover here. So they can move the needle. They move the needle on how many total podcasts we have more than anybody else does.
How many do you have a ratio that they add?
It's a lot. They're constantly adding. Now that has slowed down a little bit, and I think everybody has noticed it. Christopher Isain said the other day that, you know, the rate of new additions
again,
is getting slower.
Great data for the newsletter.
Well, somebody posted, where's that sheet I've got? Somebody posted.
Maybe I can get Tina to run corrections on it if you just write it. Oh my God, this would be such, okay. They're so huge. The industry would go crazy over this, all the way down to the bottom.
Well, you know, and the thing is, I'm not sure why nobody else does.
No one has this. Now. No one has this data. No one has this team. No one has this crew.
They do. We let people download our database for free.
Oh, no, but that would require work. No. Can I just get an app that just tells me the answer?
Okay, so now the podcast host, the Twitter handle is @thepodcasthost. I'm not sure who this is. But this person posted, the percent of active podcasts are dropping drastically. December of 2020, 59% of podcasts were considered active. In March, that was 37%. In June, it was 34%. In December, it was 23%. This person's conclusion is less than 1 in 4 podcasts on Apple published an episode in the last 90 days.
Hmm.
So
that's about the same number we have, isn't it? Same percentage, mm-hmm. Same percentage.
Probably, yeah.
About 25%. Probably. We have about a little under 500,000, so it's a little less, 23%. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed is that no matter how many we add, that 90-day number, those numbers don't change much. So you've got a core of, let's just say 20%, 20 to 25% of podcasts that are publishing on a consistent basis. And then you have sort of all this noise that goes on around it of all these other podcasts coming and going, they're just kind of noise. They're not sustaining anything. So to go back to the numbers for a second, we got Anchor, they're the 1.96 million. You got Spreaker is number 2 at 956,429. iVooks, 282,000. Buzzsprout, 152,000.
Damn, those guys have grown by 50% since we started this.
SoundCloud.
That's what Podcasting 2.0 does for you, people.
Heck yeah. Podbean, 85,000 lips and 77,000. It keeps going. So those numbers, that 4.6 million, I feel like that's a good number, as representative as you can get, without having a team of people comb through and start beginning to make editorial decisions.
And I think that's why this is so valuable. And excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this right now and you're in the numbers game, and a lot of you are, I know.
Boost!
This is 100,000 sat piece of information. That's what I expect you to boost. This is $50. This is a monthly $50 newsletter, this stuff right here. We're not even done yet.
Boost!
Now, I can look at Listen Notes. Winbin, he lists 2,737,350 podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I know that he is extremely strict about what he includes in his database. I think most of it comes from Apple and from submissions. He doesn't, to my knowledge, do any scraping like we do. So there's a lot of things that he doesn't find.
Where are we scraping? Are we still scraping stuff?
We're scraping. Yeah, that's what
Christopher does.
Trickler does. Yeah.
Right. He's the human scraper.
Yeah, exactly. So he, for instance, the other day he found about 6,000 podcasts on a French radio station.
What I meant was we're not scraping like Apple with every submission that comes in.
We don't scrape Apple. This is web scraping. Yeah, web scraping.
This is discovery.
Spidering. This is what this
no,
is.
No, no. I do not like that term. This is discovery. This is he's discovering the Antarctic. He is the Admiral Byrd of RSS feeds.
What do they call those guys that would fly to South America in a Hindenburg.
Crispy. Is what you call them.
So he lists 2,737,000, but that you take an instance like what I mentioned, where you have 6,000 feeds coming off of a French radio station. He's not going to get those, because those are RSS feeds of radio shows that are never going to be submitted to Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
And one of the things he figured out, or John Spurlock found out, was that their CMS system had a problem where it would never report a 404 if you searched for a feed that didn't exist. It would just keep giving you a made up feed. And so out of those 6,000, only 100 of the feeds were actually legit. And the other 5,900 were bogus, were duplicate feeds.
Can I change my mind?
Sure.
I think we just need to have more of this on our stats page, and then we just put a big ass QR code there and value for value.
With a Lightning invoice.
Well, with both. Do on chain too. Yeah. Sure. I mean, this is so valuable. This is so good. This is, I love that you're doing this. Okay. Sorry.
That's all right. And then, so we found that by using what's in it's in the downloadable database. There's a value in there called the C hash. And the C hash is our attempt to, and it's very accurate. It's an attempt to come up with a content hash for the feed based on information that is not likely to be very dynamic. It's very static info.
So like email.
Yeah. Things like that. Yeah. And so we don't include description or any of that jazz, because a lot of that's dynamic. The C hash value on 5,900 of those French radio podcasts were the same. Uh-huh. We were able to go through there and immediately wipe them, or mark them as dead.
Uh-huh.
So that is the way that we constantly are cleaning up. So I would say that out of 4,000,006.
Wait a minute. Let me just understand. Let me play that back to you. So this is a deduping mechanism that you have. The C hash is a deduping mechanism.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is. God, that is so. You know what? This again proves that AI is bullshit. We've got all kinds of so-called AI guys. We've had, oh, we're going to do this and I'll input that and we'll get all the dedupes out. Crickets.
I don't know how anybody else does it. I'm sure they use machine learning or something, you know. And
no, apparently no one. Here's an open database. Everyone's hungry for data. Here's a business sitting right here. And we, it's comics or blogger. I'm looking at you. These, well, I'm machine learning AI. No, this is classy. Sorry, I'll shut up now. It's so good.
That's all right.
I'm trying to make technology interesting to everybody.
Yes, thank you. Because otherwise, this would be extremely boring. So that's what the dedupe scripts they run through there, and they'll do things like find everything that's got a matching C hash, and begin to go through some testing to say, okay, there's three of these things that have a matching C hash. Do any of these have an iTunes ID? If one of them does and the other two doesn't, it'll mark the two that doesn't as duplicates.
This is where Marco's contribution comes in.
Bingo.
Yes. Oh, yeah, this is so cool.
Cause he's syncing our two databases to make sure he's syncing his database to ours to make sure that we have all of the Apple side of the information for anything that we have so that our information is accurate.
This is so formidable.
Yeah. And so, So I guess bottom line is, I feel very confident saying something like this. Out of 4.6 million podcasts in the index, there are, I would think less than 50,000 true duplicate feeds. And that means that they're actual two copies of the same feed with a different URL.
So 1%.
Yeah, and of those feeds, I think of those duplicates, I don't think that they are anything that would statistically throw things way off. I don't think that they're statistically significant. And because just based on what I've seen. We have a lot of apps using the index now, and for a while there, we were getting a lot of reports of duplicate stuff.
That's slowed down, right?
That slowed down a lot once we've got the dedupe scripts and that kind of thing. I still have to manually do some sometimes, but I'm not sure who when he says I'm hearing that there's a lot of duplicates. Well, if you just download the database and search for like duplicate titles and stuff, well, yeah, I mean you're gonna see there's. 700 podcasts that have the word introduction in the title. That's because those
again,
are coming from.
And I'm just going to, I have to interrupt again. That's why this is valuable because it's a pain in the ass. People have to figure that out.
Right. Yeah.
Come on, doctor.
Boost.
And so if you do that, then just search for basic, title collisions and things like that. Yeah, you're going to find a lot of stuff, but those aren't necessarily the same podcast. And like the word introduction is in, I don't know, let's say 700 podcasts. Well, that's because those are all coming off of LibriVox, and a lot of podcasts have that. They're putting their data in wrong. They're labeling the podcast as introduction. Yeah. Instead of having one episode per chapter, they have one podcast per chapter or something jazz like that.
Great.
Yeah. So it's just a lot. And there's a lot of stuff called where the title of the podcast is podcast. You know, it's just things like that. I mean, whenever you start getting all this kind of cruft off the internet, you're going to end up with a lot of things like that. But as far as things that are statistically significant, like having, three different versions of the Dan Bongino show or something that. Yeah. I don't think that that's the case at all.
Wow. That's really cool, Dave. That is, I mean, I was just planning on answering, dude, Dave says it's cool. So shut up already. No, instead.
but do you take that number and say there are 4.6 million podcasts in the world?
Right.
See, then you're editorializing and I don't know how you, the technical answer is yes.
How about 4.6 million feeds of some value?
mm,
No, I know it's not. It's not. It's not very snappy. From the marketing department is rejecting. I understand.
So, and then if you look at that number and say, okay, well, 600,000 of these podcasts update, every, you know, within 90 days, every 90 days. Well, but then you're leaving out just solid shows like Serial and stuff like that.
Right.
I mean, like that doesn't show up in the numbers. So I don't really know how to answer that from an editorial standpoint. All I know is like from a technical standpoint, I feel like our numbers are good.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Now the podcast that are missing was another story, which James Critton. I like this about all these Spotify deals that have been announced with celebrities and with, you know, podcasts, and, you know, very few have actually produced anything that looks like an exclusive on Spotify. And these two topics combined, I just want to say, Spotify, it's a mirage. The whole thing is a mirage. The whole success of pod. Now, do people listen to podcasts on Spotify? Absolutely. But, you know, now I see this is not a new way to do it. If you're a public company, do lots of press releases, get your stock price up. That becomes the story. You know, and they do have some legit popular content on there that is quote unquote, exclusive. But this is all what YouTube is going to do is going to be the exact same thing. And I think putting it all together now, with her talking about the regulation first and then podcasting, I think that there may be some, you know, there's a big push from liberal media to find ways to censor podcasting. And the way they're going to do it, it's the woke police are coming for your advertisers.
That's always the technique. Yeah.
Right. But I need to remind everybody that what will fail is any type of moderation, you know, removing stuff that is, not proper, whatever. That will fail. That will fail time and time and time again for the same reason we don't know what's in those 4 million podcasts. We just don't know. So you can't really advertise in a brand safe manner against that. And it works both ways. Many podcasts are like, hey, I don't want that advertiser advertising on my podcast. So, mm-hmm. but bottom line, they're coming. The woke police are coming. We have to starve them out. That's always the way it goes.
We didn't talk about the Twitter thing, Jack Dorsey stepping down.
Well, that was funny you say that. Next on my list, we did talk about him stepping down, but more exciting is the Lightning development kit. I think,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you've had a chance to take a look at it. This is from his company Spiral, which I think is an unfortunate logo. It looks like one of those, Comet Pizza logos.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like that very much.
Yeah. No, this is a really cool product. Very, very, very,
And Roy had told me about this, a while ago. I think we may have mentioned it in my backward way of trying to translate what I heard, because this is where you can just use little pieces of a full Lightning node that you need, and their magic does the rest on the back end.
Yeah, it's best I can tell. This is like a very, very confusing PR video, by the way.
Totally. Holy crap, Jack, no, just no, no.
What was that?
That was wrong. It was all totally wrong. I mean, I love the whole, and the guy with the head and the robot. No.
I feel like they were gaslighting themselves or something. Well, I'm not sure what.
They gaslit something.
So. What the Lightning Development Kit looks like is a deconstructed version of a node. So you've got the channel code, channel maintenance code, then you've got the database interface code, and you've got all these different things that a node does. They've split it up into various components.
And you access it through an API?
It's a library so that you would use to build your own node with.
Oh.
So then you, if some, a good example would be if somebody wanted to take, build a node, but they really wanted, instead of using the built-in like database that LND uses, if they really, really wanted to attach something like Elastic database to it, Mongo or something like that, they wanted to put some custom database on the back end of it, they could do it.
So a different example. Well, so here, so what I understand is it really doesn't solve problems that we have, i.e., this will not solve an always on node in your phone.
No, it would. It's not out of the box. No,
because you still have to have a Electrum server or something to talk to that has a watchtower or something on it. Am I?
Yeah. Instead, well, what you would do is instead of like porting LND over to a mobile app like Breeze did,
yeah,
you would take this LDK and then just build the pieces of your node into your app.
So you could do the send part pretty easily.
Yeah, and the channel management.
But you still have to fund it and manage your channels, or do they have a piece for that as well?
No, you still got to. Well, I mean, it's the code for it is in there, but it's not automatic.
Like so exciting, but maybe not for us.
It's a lower level library, and right. I think if somebody wanted to get in there and build a native Lightning node into their app directly, this is the way to do it. But you're not going to get, this is not an out of the box solution for just sticking a node into your app. This is something you got to put the pieces together and code it up.
Did they have any example code or a use case?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got some example code in there, and it looks very easy to use.
And this is only for apps, or will it work just for a web app? It'll work for any app? What's it based on? It works
for anything.
What's it written in?
Agnostic. It's written in Rust. Oh,
this damn Rust.
Yeah.
It's taken over our lives.
Well, it's the right thing to do because of the memory safety. You don't want to have to struggle with all that.
I mean, every morning, and I'm glad you said that, because every single morning I think of, damn, memory safety.
Memory safety. That's what you thought about brushing your teeth this morning.
Hey, am I seeing young Master Mitch kicking ass with Podverse? Is this guy on fire or what?
Well, he's doing comments now.
Yes! He's
starting to toy with comments.
But did he quit his other job? Is he on this full time now and they're rocking and rolling?
No, I don't think he quit his other job, but I think he's splitting time.
Wow, man, because I saw he's working on the comments and he's releasing. I think he's figured out kind of his cycle, his release cycle, how he releases, where he releases, who's trying out new versions. I think that's, he's hit that stride. That was new for him, I think.
Yeah, I think they've found their groove, I think.
Yeah, kicking ass. They're very cool.
They're putting some stuff out. Yeah, look, the comment stuff looks really good. I was not expecting them to be first into the comment thing, and then he brought that out. I was like, "Woo, that's pretty."
I think Daniel J. Lewis is mad at me.
Why? What'd you do?
Because
what'd you do to him?
Because he posted on podcastindex.social. He said, "Well, the website hasn't changed. Where are we with the marketing?"
Oh yeah.
And I went, "We're too busy doing the comments you demanded." And then he didn't reply. So now I'm afraid he's mad.
He's out supplying stats to the whole world of podcasting.
Well, I hope he's listening to this show.
Well,
he has the database. He gets valuable. There's stuff that you can do though. Mm-hmm. No, there's stuff that the group just can do because of the knowledge of the group and the expertise of the group. So the more I think about it, I'm really happy we can do that value for value. Just need to add some of that stuff, you know. Add some of the stuff you were talking about.
Well, speaking of Daniel J. Lewis, he should add value for value to his stats work. That's a paid product.
Yeah.
Except Daniel, you should take Lightning, man. It's right there.
It's so tiring being an evangelist.
Being 10 years ahead of the curve all the time.
A little sad about the comedy album dispute with Spotify. Man, what a perfect group to have value for value. And now, you know, so they all signed up with one performing rights organization. I'm going to ask Joe. I said, who's running that over there? And I'll do one pitch.
Who's Joe?
Rogan.
Oh, Rogan. Oh, yeah.
The only comedian I know. What Joe Piscopo.
Did his stuff get taken down? I think it did, right?
No, no, not about get taken down.
No, not the podcast, but his stand-up stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
Got taken off Spotify.
I'm sure he did, yeah. I'm not sure. That's why I have to ask him, because...
Okay.
And Spotify will never deal with this. They will have no part of it.
They'll just leave it off. They won't ever put it back up.
Yeah, they're not going to. You can't go above the established prices for music. These guys will lose their shirt. They're on micro slivers of profit as is.
Yeah,
you can't do it.
If there's a chance that they may owe $1 billion in royalties, you can forget it. That stuff's not coming back.
Forget even going backwards, just, you know, moving forwards. And remember, this is a technology company who really truly believe that it's fucked up they have to pay artists in the first place. Remember the CTO? He's like, look, mm-hmm. We're giving you our platform. What's your problem? You know, you want to be paid more?
Stop complaining.
Yeah. Yeah. They do that because, you know, they want to be like Google, but Google will take the loss on that stuff.
Yeah, because they don't see that's the difference between somebody like Google and Spotify. When I say Google, I mean YouTube, because we're talking about at the beginning of the show that YouTube is just going to do a Spotify, you know, reach around here, and so the Swedish reach around. They're going to do that, and the difference there is that Google, and this is why I disagree with Sam Sethi. I do not think that YouTube will be split off into its own company. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, because anything
attached to Google you should never divorce yourself from the mountain of money. Mm-hmm. Because when you have this sort of guaranteed mountain of cash, or, you know, like fire hose of cash that's being blown in your face all day long, you don't separate yourself from that, because they can do stuff and not have to worry about if it's a failure or not.
Right.
Spotify can't do that. I mean, they have they're walking the line all the time. Somebody like YouTube, they can throw up podcasting, and if it loses $1 billion, that's like what? A week of revenue? That's a rounding error for Google. I mean, that's like no big deal. Not a week. That's like less than a day of revenue for those guys.
Revenue, yeah, not profit, but revenue, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So they're making like, you know, $1 million a minute. Spotify's not in that. They don't have that luxury, you know. So the YouTube, I think YouTube, if they wanted to, if they were serious, and this is the other problem with this, is once you're hooked up to the, cash fire hose, you tend to not take things as seriously as you would if you really needed the money.
Yeah.
So who knows if they will, but if they took it seriously and wanted to take on Spotify head to head with YouTube, that's a threat.
That I'm sure they want to do. They would definitely want to take away Spotify. They want Google Music to take over Spotify. And, you know, Spotify, now it's starting to click in my head. This truly is a mirage, what these guys have put on. Now, they haven't made profits. You know, they're not making money. We all know that. This is a great value play, has been for investors based upon press releases. They have a shitty business model, because whenever the rights holders decide to raise the prices, you either negotiate, figure out a way to concede and work, or you have no business. So, you know, they've been working on this pivot to bring more value to their paying subscribers, who, you know, obviously are not going to see all the... Google has many better ways to make money on their customers, quote-unquote customers, than Spotify does. And so what you see is the CEO of Spotify, I think it was misconstrued by some podcast analysts, who were like, well, we've got $3.8 billion for acquisitions, big swinging dick. You know, you don't say that kind of stuff unless you're like, shit, man, we're in trouble. We got to find something that works for us. And it was not just for podcasting. It's for anything. And they're buying audio books. And, you know, their vision is audio. Well, that's really broad, man. That's hard these days to do just audio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's too much. I mean, look at, we want to do music. Can we? No. I mean, technically, yes. We need an app that shows music. that only shows the media tag will help with this. I know I'm jumping the gun, but mm-hmm. you know, you're going to need to just separate that stuff. I don't think it all belongs into one jumble, except actually I have to just as a side note, from time to time, I like to dip my toe in the dark side. And I've done it again.
The dark side. Yeah, yes. This is probably not the Kara Swisher show. You're talking about some other dark side.
This is another dark side, yes. As you know, I've ever since Linux Mint, I've that's my daily driver. I love it. I run it on the Surface.
Oh, shit. You installed Windows 11, didn't you?
No. No. I have the Surface Go, which is, and the first version too. So, and it runs beautifully, super fast. And there's something about the terminal that is just so comfortable. The whole is, and that's the design of an operating system is, that's voodoo. But there's something about it that really feels good. It interacts well, you know, the way links work, the way copy paste works, just all these things that are already kind of natural. So I returned to using Mutt for my email, and I've become, I've been doing that
I know, that's what made me laugh.
More than a year. I mean, okay. So that's
99% of the people listening to this show have no idea what Mutt even is. They don't even know what this is.
Search for Mutt email client. Because, you know, my workflow just has improved, and I've really taken some time to learn macros and how to do stuff. And you know, I'm also a VI user. And so as I'm looking for better workflows, always looking for better workflows, ever since, you know, for the last 24 months, the amount of email coming in, it has to be routed, has to be tagged. There's a lot of stuff I got to do, just to make all my shows. You know, that's what I do. That's literally what I do.
You're an information router.
So I have gone to the dark side and have taken up learning Emacs again.
Oh.
And
I've used Emacs a handful of times, and I know it's like this crazy-ass space shuttle worth of stuff that you can do, and that's all I know about it. I've never gotten into it.
Now, specifically, I use org mode, which is an outlining mode, which I'm very familiar for, and what you just said is the realization I had as well. That thing's like a spaceship. It's got everything. It's fucking crazy. I tried to do it. Does that sound a lot like the Freedom Controller to you?
Yes, it does.
The Freedom Controller is the Emacs of RSS, bro. I'm telling you. That is exactly what we built with that thing. The
kitchen sink.
Yeah. It's a kitchen sink. But this email, I'm very impressed. And there's so many translators, you know, so I can output to OPML, which it's really being able to use structured data with whatever tool is good for the moment.
Okay.
So anyway, that was just a side note.
I haven't looked at the... I used to use X Emacs. That's what I'm thinking of, the X window version of Emacs.
It's very similar. I mean, for me, it's all shortcuts and keyboard commands. That's how I move fast.
Yeah, I'm looking at the text-based version of it, and I don't think I've ever actually used the text-based version of Emacs, but it looks a lot like Mutt.
Well, I mean, you can also integrate an email client. You know, you can do... The trick is you got to understand to-do mode and different agenda modes. It's made me very efficient, because you just throw a to-do somewhere and you don't have to worry where it is. When you go to agenda mode, you can just see, I got to do this. Here's my to-do. Okay, I got it. This is to move this forward. It's just brilliant.
Does it have an outliner in it?
Well, that's what org mode is. The whole mode of org is an outliner.
Does it export to OPML?
Yes, what I just said. Yeah, of course. You can export to anything, including OPML. Now, I'm going to have to customize that because, of course, and you know, a lot of stuff, Freedom Controller doesn't recognize a lot of stuff, or at least not the way it's output from org mode. Doesn't matter.
No.
Copy-paste still works, too, in a pinch. It really does. And then Dave Jackson... God bless his heart. School of Podcasting pings me. We all saw it.
He went to Tascam. He went to Tascam. Tascam to task.
Yeah, he tasked the camp, and he's just like, I got the marketing guy William, and kind of introduced you. Yeah, so we got an introduction, and it should be interesting because he's asking very marketing guy questions. And I with my first opening salvo, I did the whole thing. Shit, you want to read it? Should I read it?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's open. It's open source.
Did you say, hey, what's your marketing budget?
No, that'll be for the follow up. Like, how much money you got? How much money you got, man? Let me see. Tascam. Let me just search for this. Hold on a second. Yeah. Here it is. Thanks, Dave, and nice to meet you, William. I've been on a 15-year search for the perfect podcast rig. I've built several and tested pretty much everything worth trying. Currently, only one device makes the perfect rig possible, which is the Motu Ultralight MK4, and that was just discontinued. See my setup at podfathergear.com. There's clearly market demand for the product. I even tried to crowdfund one, but could not get the engineering cost within range. Hardware is hard. It appears all devices in the category are using similar chipsets, which have taken an unfortunate turn by exchanging mix buses with loopback devices, which only makes the problem worse. I appreciate your interest, William. Let me know if you want to discuss further. And
good call by dropping podfathergear.com.
Yeah, because I want to show. Yeah,
That's your brand. That's your brand.
I definitely like to discuss further. Really understand your thoughts on all of this. In the meantime, okay. Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, typical.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, so we'll see. But anyway, we'll try and push that further. I just want it to be easy for people, and then we can always do a Podfather signature model.
Yeah, with the signature and the sticker.
Yeah, and we'll give you special Podfather sound effects like
boost.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice. Yes. Okay. So, do you want to do donations first and then talk and then laugh at NFTs, or do you want to?
Oh no, donations first, definitely. Okay. I think it's been clear throughout this what the whole concept of the board meeting is and podcasting 2.0. If not, and you're new, it's completely value for value. Everything is open. Took a little left turn there for a second with my Substack idea. Quickly was brought back to the rails. Everything goes back into the project. We're funding liquidity for the node. Our positioning in the Lightning Network is pretty darn interesting, too.
Yeah.
And connecting to new nodes is it really helps because we get routing fees. Ever since I set up my Umbral, every single day I get a report, and it's probably like Podcast Index gets 200 to 300 sats per day from routing to my node.
Just to your node?
Yeah. Well, I am a very popular guy, of course.
Right. Sure. Of course you are. Yeah.
But the route, I mean, because I only have two channels. I set up one channel inbound from Podcasting 2.0. So I open that from the index to my Umbral. And outbound I have to one of my other private nodes. Mm-hmm. And they're perfectly balanced all the time. It's fantastic. And then the Podcast Index gets bennies. So
how much? Do you have only Curry and the Keeper tied to your node right now?
Curry and the Keeper with Adam Curry and a small split from MoFax, which has its own node. Really just to read the boostergrams and a small split from No Agenda, again, just to see the boostergrams come in.
Okay.
That's it.
So how's your helipad doing real quick?
Helipad is running. It's hovering. Everything's fine. I have not updated 4.9. I didn't like your message. I didn't think that was a fine idea.
I upgraded to 4.9 last night, and it wiped my helipad, but that was to be expected.
Well, that's to be expected. But you just started up again, and it went?
Yeah, I just reinstalled it and it was fine. So I'm good. I was going to try to send you a boost real quick to your Curry and the Keeper.
Okay.
And just out of curiosity,
see how long the round trip is. Hold on 1 second. Can you hold on 1 second?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, because then I can we can have the pew sound. I'll put it on the board, Dave.
Let's see. Where's my
212?
my wallet. My wallet's toast on CurioCaster. I got to fill it up. What am I going to do?
Well, the amount you boost is way too much, brother. You're going to go broke on that. I like your rush boost, but you're boosting people like $10 at a shot. But it's not just one. It's like everybody.
I'm reckless.
You're a beast. I'm reckless. Anywhere from 1 to 5,000 sats, and I do that a lot. Just boom everywhere. Boom, 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 boom. Just boost, boost, boost.
You're spraying it.
I am spraying sats. Yeah, okay, I want to. Okay. All right. So
I'm sharing the Christmas love right now. Yeah. Okay. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm gonna boost. Let's see.
Let's see if this works. So I am now looking at the helipad.
I'm gonna do 1,000 sats.
Okay.
So I can get it. So I can.
Do you have a stopwatch? You want to time this for now? Before you do it, Dave. Before stop. This never ceases to amaze me. It really doesn't. Yes, because there's no known connection between the two of us. And you're on a podcast app. You've found my podcast that my lovely wife and I do. You love the show so much that you want to send us, I guess you send me a boost to Graham, right? You're going to do a note as well?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you send this thing off into the ether and it just finds me. You know, I'm not a member of anything. I don't have to subscribe to anything. I don't have to sign up to anything. It's just poof, and it just comes in. All right, hit it.
Okay. And you know this is going to fail.
Of course it's going to. Yes, completely ready for that. Okay. Of course.
Right. I'm going to time it here. All right, okay. Ready? All right. Go.
All right, we are
now. It says boost sent.
Boost sent. What are you sending it from? Which app are you sending it from?
CurioCaster.
CurioCaster. Okay, we are still waiting for.
It should be within about 15 seconds.
Well, this is. I need some waiting music.
Fail.
Oh, boom! There it is. Okay.
Did it go?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
I didn't hear the pew though. I don't know why it didn't come through. So how many seconds was that?
That was 13 seconds.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. No, I'm sorry. 23 seconds.
Helipad shows to me 8 seconds ago. So I guess it took a second for it to display.
Yes. Yeah,
so 8 seconds between receipt and then display. So it really made it in like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So cool. I wish I had the pew though.
Do you see the message? Do you see the message?
Wait, I'm sorry. This is from. Yeah, this is from. Here's your cut of a message tip from CurioCaster. Something's wrong.
That's weird.
But that's so that's what it seems.
My typed message.
That's what it seems to be sending these days.
Refresh your helipad browser. Yeah.
Refresh.
Do you see anything new?
No. This must be riveting for everybody.
It is great, yeah.
No, why was I supposed to see? No, it still says here. This is something in CurioCaster, I think.
Oh, so the message itself aren't. I got to do some testing on that then. Okay.
Yeah, right. Maybe he has some weird waves. He's probably trying to jam a character string into an integer again. These damn developers, you can't trust them.
The Pew thing, sometimes it won't fire because Chrome requires you to interact with the page at least once before it allows audio to play.
Oh.
So if you just click somewhere on the page.
Yeah, I thought I had. Oh, there it is. I just heard it.
Yeah.
Pew. All right. So that's how we prefer to receive value. We start with boostograms today?
We're going to start with a baller PayPal donation.
Oh, okay. I'm sitting down. What's going on?
Okay. The guys at Buzzsprout.
Yeah.
Gave us $2,000 in a PayPal donation.
Whoa.
Baller! Shot caller! 20-inch blades on the Impala!
Holy crap.
That is a Christmas miracle.
That is a miracle. That is no kidding. Wow. Yeah.
Especially since we just paid the bill for the lightning.
We did. We just had a huge, huge month.
Yeah. And they said, the team at Buzzsprout is so thankful for all the great things the Podcast Index has done this year. Keep up the great work and keep podcasting. Take care.
Oh, thank you guys so much. That is so so appreciated.
Yeah, literally the bill for our voltage node was $1,800, and we just annual bill, and we just paid it, and this like covers everything.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. That was awesome.
Phew.
Was it a foul to play the baller boost for a PayPal donation? Is that like a rules violation?
No, because this comes from MoFax, and he has he has approved it for all large donations.
So we're already violating by just going cross show. So
no, because we use all kinds of karma shit over there. It's crazy. It's like it's a plague. Everything intermingles. Okay. Yeah, now you can't do it.
Thank you guys. Thank you, Tom and Kevin, and now and all the crew over there at Buzzsprout.
Yeah, really nice. Thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
Boostergrams. See, comic strip blogger.
Yeah.
3,333 sats. And he says, greetings from Comic Strip Blogger to Podcasting 2.0 team. Dave and AC and anybody interested in artificial intelligence is welcome to subscribe and listen to the podcast called AI.Cooking. That can be found in all podcast apps and in all podcast indexes by searching for AI.Cooking. Yo!
Yo. Ooh. Yeah, just on a side note, I was sad that I have this Curry and the Keeper title for the podcast, but the ampersand doesn't really register well while searching.
Yeah, I need to fix that. And I'm not sure, you know, it could be just the app. Let me search for that.
I couldn't find it in CurioCaster or PodFriend that way.
Oh, neither one?
Mm-mm. But once, because you said, well, just try Curry Keeper, and that worked perfectly.
I just searched for it in PodFriend using Curry and the ampersand the Keeper, and it came right up.
Oh, interesting.
And PodFriend.
Probably Martin went, I want to listen to that show. Can't find it. Oh, let me put in a little workaround here.
Yeah. Let's see. All right. So let me switch back over here. We got Oscar Mary, sack of sevens. He says 7,777 sats through Fountain. He says, great to have the boardroom back.
Yes. It good to be good. Back. Thank you.
Yes, it was. Let's see. 5,000 sats from Abel Kirby through CurioCaster. And his message is, yeah, probably.
Boostergram.
Okay. That's what they're for.
Okay. Let's see. Beavenauer. He says, it's 500 sats through Fountain. And his message is, totally agree.
Okay. All right.
Comic strip blogger again.
Whoa.
3,333 sats. He's in the Christmas spirit. He says, howdy, Dave and AC. Thanks for the link to AI.cooking in the show notes. Appreciated. And when I boost multiple times, it's not accident, but to multiply my support.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for the multiplication.
Thank you, CSB. John's BRT through Fountain. 4,900 sats. And he says, Le Boost.
Oh, yes, Le Boost.
And now, as the French say, it is time for Le Boost.
I get a kick out. I've been playing on the Curry and the Keeper, which is a whole 2.0 exclusive show. It was exclusive to Podcasting 2.0. It's like Spotify, only better, okay? And we get actual feedback. It doesn't get trapped in the Spotify marketing department.
Yeah, it actually leaves and goes out into the world.
It's so exciting. You know, we just had so many boostergrams coming in. And that's our only method. No PayPal or anything like that. So we're really going to see how far we can push this. And I can't wait to have an OPML or a CSV export before Wednesday. Ooh, there's another. Let me see what came in from Dave Jones. Yo, during the show, I heard you, bitch. Did you hear the pew?
Yeah, that was about 7 seconds.
And that was from PodFriend, I can see. 500 PodFriend. Sats.
Yeah, so maybe it is a CurioCaster message issue then. Okay, so I'm debugging and reading show donations at the same time, baby.
That's why you're the Pod Sage.
Petar, P-E-T-A-R, gave us 3,333 sats through Fountain. And he says, friends don't let friends buy NFTs.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a clip to play after this.
Okay, good.
All right. Let's see here. Anonymous gave us 1,000 sats, and the message is, oh, this is through Breeze, and the message is this, clevelandsoapworks.com. That's the whole message. So that must, this is a PR.
It's an ad. It's an ad.
It's an ad.
ad. What the hell is that?
You know, post red ad.
I actually noticed this on the last No Agenda show. There were two different executive producer donations, so over $300, and they were promoting their businesses. And I have to say, when it's someone who, and both of these cases, people who are just really like, I don't have a job anymore. I'm doing shit on Etsy, whatever. Mm-hmm. I kind of appreciate that. I don't have a problem with that.
I don't either.
I really don't. No. Even though for the same amount of airtime with audience, we could make, 10 times as much.
It wouldn't be as personal.
No, and it wouldn't be some funny Etsy thing we can laugh about.
Yeah, I'm looking at clevelandsoapworks.com. Yeah.
What is it? Do they have soap? Let me guess.
It's all kinds of different soaps. Oh, Mrs. Nice. Claus sugar cookie bath bomb.
Hold on a second. I got to take a look at this. Clevelandsoapworks.com.
Okay. I'm digging these Mrs. Claus sugar cookie bath bombs. Turmeric, carrot, honey, face, and body soap.
Oh, you should get this for Melissa.
Yeah.
The goat milk natural pure bar soap. Baby, it's goat milk. I want nothing but goat touching your skin.
All goat.
All goat all the time.
It's 100 goat all the way down. Snowman bath bomb. Snowman bath bomb. I'm liking that.
All right. Let's moving on. This ad has lasted too long.
Fine. all right. Thank you, Cleveland. So
forth. Ad should be 10,000 sats, by the way, I think.
That's the floor. B-Mazi, 15,000 sats.
Whoa. He should have an ad. Does he have something to advertise?
He does not have anything to advertise. He just says, boost the dip. And I agree.
Yes. Boosting the dip. Thank you very much. That's exactly right. Because everything that comes in now is going to be worth more later on.
Yeah, BTD. Boost the dip.
BT.
Comic strip blogger again. Now, something has gone wrong with the universe. If comic strip blogger has boosted three times in the same show, maybe it's just Christmas in Poland. It just gets all in your blood and makes you feel good.
Boost! Well, we appreciate it, CSB. Thank you.
Pod friend.
Wait, don't we have to play his jingle? Isn't that...
Yeah, go for it. Do it.
Okay. Hold on a second. I said it, but I wasn't ready.
Well, let me read the note first and then I'll
be okay, yes.
Yet another one, not mistake. Greetings from comic strip blogger to podcasting 2.0 team, Dave and AC. Intelligence is welcome to see. Anybody interested in artificial intelligence is welcome to subscribe and listen to the podcast called AI.cooking. They can be found in all podcast apps and in all podcast indexes by searching for AI.cooking. Yo. Okay. He said specifically.
Yeah.
It's not a mistake.
So. No. And he hit the floor. I mean, he hit the floor. He missed it by one sat.
Comic strip.
I got the sat for you right here. Hold on a second.
Comic strip.
I dropped that extra sat for
comic
you.
Comic strip.
Comic strip blogger. Comic strip.
Comic strip
blogger.
The only anonymous. Go ahead.
No, nothing. Anonymous whenever I say something about CSB, he always gets mad at me. We love you, CSB. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Heck yeah. That's 9,999 sats of love.
Pure.
Anonymous. 22,000 sats, but it is not anonymous.
Oh, woo, comes from Breeze, no doubt.
Breeze, and it says, keep on keeping on, fellas. Mike Newman.
All right, Mike, thank you. Keep on keeping on, indeed.
Bruce DeGraham.
The director of team management at Podcasting 2.0. Salonomics sent us 2,021 sats through Fountain. He says, yo, Adam, can you create a jingle for us? Okay. We have a segment on our show called Under a Bus. Where someone's incompetence trigger us enough to wish someone would throw them under a bus. Admittedly, British politicians have a monopoly on the segment at the moment. However, it does bring us a small element of joy within the current dystopia we live in. Don't let the bastards drag you down. Cheers, Aaron.
Well, let me talk to my agent. Dave, I think this same rule should apply. If you want custom jingles, I mean, that should be 10,000 sats.
2,021 sats is a little, that's pushing it.
That's like a buck.
That's a low hourly wage.
Thanks, bro.
Is what that is.
Happy to do it, but I think you should be more creative.
Bring it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Bring the boost and give. You got to give direction. That's not enough. You got to give creative direction.
Yeah, I do need some of that. Yeah, and then we can do a couple different reads.
Yeah. 2,222 sats from Sir Pete.
Wait, I take it back. I take it back.
Okay.
Who was that from the previous?
Selenomics, Aaron.
Selenomics. Do you know if they're value for value enabled?
Yes, they are.
Okay. I'll do it for free. We do need some direction. Please put us in your split. We'd like 5% going to Podcast Index. See, this is how it works, brother. This is how it works. Thank you. The 2222 was to get my attention. That's how it works in this new economy. You got my attention. Appreciate it. Now, to complete the transaction, I'd like 5%. For the podcast index in perpetuity, or you know, until you use something else,
Come back next week and he's going to say, "Okay, I'll do 3%, and I'll just give you a one liner of direction."
Well,
negotiation
only if we can give Dave a pink Cadillac. Then you know,
I got it. Yep,
to hook him up. All right,
I will take it. Sir Pete, 2,222 sats through Podfriend, and he says, "Trying out Podfriend from the browser. Here's a sack of ducks."
Yes. We need a quack. I need a quack, man. I should have a quack. A duck donation should definitely have a quack.
Nile, N-I-A-L-L, through Fountain, sent us 20 sats, and his message just says, "Awesome." Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. We burned more electricity crumpling the paper.
Yes.
But thank you.
Kyron, our buddy at Mere Mortals, Kyron Down, 10,602 sats through CurioCaster. And he says, "Draining my CurioCaster dry because I've been boosting rookie numbers. Come on, people. Dave needs more vacation." I agree.
Yeah, I think my interview is coming out soon.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Martin from Podfriend sent us 30,000 sats.
Hello.
Boost.
That proves that COVID didn't get him. He's still alive.
Yes. How is he doing? We checked in with him.
Hadn't heard from him in a couple of days. I'm thinking he's just resting.
Yeah, it's and you know those guys, Denmark, they got Omicron, which is, as far as I know, it's like a really crappy cold.
Yeah. It's a bad day after a hangover.
Yeah, but
Pod
I think
Friend loves you is what he says.
Well, Podfriend, 30,000 cents. We love Podfriend.
Yeah, everybody loves Podfriend. How can you not love him? I'm drinking out of my Podfriend mug right now. Monthly donors?
Yes.
David Midas, $10. Joseph Maraca, $5. We got a new subscription.
Ooh.
BZ Kozelski gave us, he said, $1 a month.
Thank you.
Cameron Rose, $25. Jeremy New, $5. Podverse, $50. And Podverse's creator, Mitch Downey, $10.
Ooh.
And Christopher Cherubaric, $10. And that's our group.
Well, thank you all very much. The boostograms are appreciated. The monthlies are super appreciated. Whenever you can do a monthly, that's great for us. And please do use PayPal because, as we were talking earlier, you know, we are in a way like Spotify, as we're moving into a new way of value for value, the total real world fiat value is going down. Mm. But so it's just a transit. It reminds me so much of when I left my own company to do No Agenda full time and I ate my airplane. I spent my kids' inheritance, you know, all of that stuff just on surviving. Sorry, yeah, Christina's okay with it by now. She got over it.
Spotify has a $3.5 billion war chest to buy things. We have a $3.50 war chest to buy things.
Pretty much. But thank you all very much. It is very much appreciated, especially the guys over at Buzzsprout for really, really saving Christmas. That's really
saved Christmas.
Thank you. Go to podcastindex.org. You see the big red donate button down there at the bottom. We got to get our QR code up there too. We got to get it. Yeah. I guess we're waiting for Bolt 12 or whatever.
I don't know what
we're I've been trying for. To set up an LN bits just so we can have a pay link, an LN URL. And I cannot for the life of me get any node with a certificate punched through any firewall anywhere, or Voltage doesn't have it. I was hoping with Umbral, well, don't try and do a SSL certificate on your Umbral. You might as well blow the whole thing up right away. Don't try it on your Raspi Blitz either. It's bull crap. Yeah. The instructions don't work. It's not for me, at least. You know, there's always, hey, I did it. It worked right out of the box. Yeah. All right.
Well, the Sphinx donation thing died.
That died. I knew that was going to die. Thanks for removing it. I saw that.
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't remove it. It just went away.
Oh, it just...
I don't know what
happened. And it's gone.
Yeah, and it's gone.
Thanks again, everybody. Value for value, the way forward. Dvorak and I are going to write the book.
Do you want to listen to... You know, the show's getting a little long now. Do you want to... Let's do NFTs next week.
Okay.
And let's do. I just thought this was a very interesting thing. I've got a clip of Aaron Schwartz.
Oh,
I went back
sure.
and listened to that. Have you ever seen that documentary about him called "The Internet's Own Boy"?
Oh, I may have started it, not finished it, but you should probably let everyone know who Aaron Schwartz was.
So he was like I didn't know any. I only knew very little about him. I knew what he had done. I didn't know who he was, like, on a personal level. And so his name is like on tons of different things that we just take for granted now. Like, he was a co-inventor of Markdown language. He,
early RSS.
Early RSS. He was very politically active. And so a lot of the political organizations that we think of, that we see doing things today, were part of, they came from him. But he was very, like, if you go, his story is that he committed suicide because, he was just basically railroaded by the government.
Yeah. Well, my version is he was cleaned up.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he, but before that happened, in the last couple of years of his life, he became sort of this go-to guy for interviews. And now you have to understand, this guy is very politically extremely left, extremely liberal, extremely devoted to civil liberties, very much ACLU type liberal.
Older ACLU.
Older
ACLU. When I still supported them.
And so that's kind of the thing with this clip. It says Aaron Schwartz interview. He became sort of a go-to guy for a lot of news organizations when they wanted to talk about, like, SOPA or PIPA, which is one of the things that he led.
Right, SOPA and PIPA. Yeah, gosh. Yeah. So that's 12 years ago, maybe? Longer?
Mm-hmm. The internet blackout. Remember that? Where everybody was blacking out. Yeah, Wikipedia shut down their site and all this kind of stuff.
Good times. So good times, people.
Yeah. He led that, all that. And so a lot of news organizations would have him on as to interview him when it came to things like internet as a human right and things like that. And what I found is, so go ahead and play this interview clip real quick, and then I will tell you where the interview was from.
Months go by as Schwartz's friends and family await a looming indictment. In the meantime, Schwartz was becoming a go-to expert on a series of internet issues.
To you, then, do you think that the internet is something that should be considered a human right and something that the government cannot take away from you?
Yes, definitely. I mean, this notion that national security is an excuse to shut down the internet, that's exactly what we heard in Egypt and Syria and all these other countries. And so, yeah, it's true. Sites like WikiLeaks are going to be putting up some embarrassing material about what the U.S. government does, and people are going to be organizing to protest about it and try and change their government. You know, and that's a good thing. That's what all these First Amendment rights of free expression, of freedom of association are all about. And so the notion that we should try and shut those down, I think, just goes against very basic American principles. The principle, I think, is one that our founding fathers would have understood. If the internet had been around back then, instead of putting post offices in the Constitution, they would have put ISPs.
So here's a guy, here's a very left liberal defending freedom of speech, freedom of association, defending
I already think I know who the interviewer was.
Do you? Okay. All right. Do you want to give a guess?
Yes, because I hate her. Is that Kara Swisher?
No.
Gosh, it's not, I was so sure it was her.
It's funny.
I don't really hate her, by the way. I just hate how she... It's a hate listen. That's more accurate. Sorry.
The interview was from RT.
Huh. Yeah.
So the question is, would you ever today see a liberal on RT
yes.
to begin with?
Yes, only those that have been fired from MSNBC. That's where you go. Yeah, after that, you go to RT. This is fact.
But then would they also be defending freedom of speech?
No.
And freedom of association. Like that shows you how quickly
culture changes. It's flipped.
Culture can change. Yeah.
Well, but it's also ignorance, not really having thought it through. I mean, you know, we're in a, certainly in the United States, we're in a, the meritocracy is sadly in education is based on test scores. And not necessarily, and I just don't think it's been taught to people what it really means. I mean, you probably heard the German member of European Parliament who answered the Australian SOS call.
Yes, I heard that, yeah.
I mean, and for her to say, you know, this is exactly when we used to ask our grandparents in Germany, Opa, what did you do during the war? Were you silent? What did you do with the Jews? And, you know, but that, I grew up with that. You know, I grew up, my friends, their grandmothers were home and they had numbers tattooed on their arm. So I had a different experience and I'm very, very aware of that. And, you know, and that's the big question. It's like, how could that have happened? It has not been answered. And because they always say, wir haben es nicht gewusst. We did not know. Es war die Ordnung. We were following orders. That's exactly what's happening. And that's the left.
Yeah, that's
which, by the way, the Nazi Party was also a leftist party.
Well, you can
socialist.
You can just see that. You can just see that how quickly something can go from how quickly things can be moved ideologically now. Used to something like RT was not a verboten.
Now they had to register as an agent of a foreign entity just to broadcast in America.
And if you ask anybody today, you know, hey, what about RT? Like, you know, that the immediate thought is that that's a hangout for right wing whack jobs.
Yeah,
and even though clearly it was not that at the time anyway. I just thought it was so surprising to see a Chiron from RT on the bottom of an Aaron Schwartz interview. And I thought, man, you know how quickly things have changed.
Yeah.
And that's a lesson because you got to know how quickly things can change so that you know not to give away all of your power to some group that's going to turn around and screw you 10 years from now.
And if you want to really understand a lot of this from a left perspective, Glenn Greenwald, his Substack is in his videos too. Are phenomenal, and he's definitely a left oriented person, but he understands all the corruption. He understands and he sees it, and this is exactly what he says. Like, this used to be, like, get the government out of our hair. You know, it's like no surveillance. We hate the CIA. Now it's like, oh, we love them. We want to be in it. They're woke.
What's that it's that old cartoon that's got the king and the advisor looking out at the crowd, and they got pitchforks and torches. And the advisor to the king's like, don't worry about it. All we need to do is convince the pitchfork people that the torch people want to take away their pitchforks. Yeah. And the it'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
So, right. All right. For the next board meeting, you have the NFT craziness you want to talk about. I have Ryan Heiss, his transcript service, and you're on the emails. Yeah, we got to talk about this because he's doing some work, and I need to figure out how it works, and I think we need to. It's something. It's interesting.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that on the next show. And what else? Man, what a good board meeting! This is
that was a good one.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, sir. Well done.
Oh, thank you. Congratulations to you.
Have a great weekend, Dave. I look forward to anything and everything that's going to happen next week. May all your prayers come true. Keep reaching for the stars.
That reads like a CSB SAT donation.
That's it, everybody. We'll be back with the board meeting for Podcasting 2.0 next week, Friday. You know where to find us. Till then, take it easy. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Podcasts are cool.
Instagram.
Podcasting!